Hey guys, this is Erica Ramirez, senior editor at Billboard, and with me I have a new co-host, Lil Sims.
Hello.
Oh, and I have Gold Link as my guest, the ever elusive Gold Link.
Hello.
I read that you got like your whole mentality of kind of the God complex of your project through an ex-girlfriend.
Her father.
Her father.
Yeah.
What did he like share with you?
He's a philosopher, so he was saying that you know, people have the natural, I think, I don't know, something natural about them where they want to look up to other people. It's just like, oh, I want to be the next Malcolm X, or I want to be the next Kanye, or I want to be the next. But instead, he was like, maybe if everybody should look past that and should be whatever they believe in, if you believe in God, or if you believe in a Buddha, maybe you should strive to be that, like, of a God status, because that's the only thing that's perfect. And as humans, we can't be perfect, but we should try to shoot to be, you know, perfect. So that's where it came from.
You got that as a concept for the project.
Yeah.
But is that also the concept behind you kind of being a little bit elusive?
Yeah, for sure.
So a little bit about your upbringing, though, because you're from the DMV. But how was your upbringing like?
I mean, it was not great. It was, you know, it's just, you know, I grew up like kind of like in the hood. So it's like, I wouldn't say poverty stricken, but it was rough. You know what I'm saying? So it's, you know, you think different. You have to go at things different. You have to carry yourself a certain way in order for people to, you know, I guess take you seriously or leave you alone. So, I mean, it was just rough. And I just seen a lot growing up. So I had to grow up quick with my environment. So I kind of, I don't know. That's like what I am today.
You were also raised with just your mom, right? Your mom solely raised
pretty
you.
Much, yeah.
Sims, tell me about your upbringing. Kind
of. My upbringing, I grew up with two sisters, two brothers. I'm the youngest in my family. Mm-hmm. I grew up with just my mom, basically raised me and my siblings. My mom's also now a foster carer. Mm-hmm. So she obviously looks after kids, and it's now I'm the oldest. When they reach a certain age, they move on and leave it, yeah, and get their own place. That's pretty much my upbringing. I went to all girls school from Highbury, North London.
How was it being in all girls school? What did you study?
In school, just the usual,
right? Like the liberal.
Yeah. But now I'm in university and I'm studying a music technology specialist.
So you're in school now.
Yeah.
How are you going to school and doing all this music?
I don't even know. Honestly, I don't know how I'm doing it. But I've always kind of liked the idea of being able to do so well in music and still be able to say I've got a degree. Mm-hmm. Just for me and to show other people that it is possible. I don't know. The way my music career is moving right now, I honestly don't know if I'm going to be able to accomplish that, but I'm going to try my hardest and go as far as I possibly can, right, in with school and see where it takes me.
How much longer do you need?
2 years. So this year and next year.
How is that helping you out, like what you're learning during school?
Well, my course is a specialist course, so it's very scientific. It's a lot of physics, actually. It's a lot to do with like measuring sound waves and acoustics, mm, and a lot of math. But I mean, it's interesting and it's good for me to, I suppose, learn more about music as a whole, as opposed to just the performing writing side, more about what goes on behind the scenes, how to wire up things, how to engineer. Mm-hmm. My last projects was all mixed and recorded by myself. I taught myself how to do that, and now I've moved on to go to university just to try and better my skills in that, just because I feel like I want to be very hands-on when it comes to my music. And yeah, I've had a lot of setbacks, and especially where I'm from and being a female rapper, in inverted, mm-hmm, quotes, it's hard for people to listen to you because you're automatically put in one box and, yeah, you're just meant to stay there. Yeah. So I figured by trying to break out of that and going to school and learning different things, hopefully I can be of some inspiration.
They can't put you in a box.
Of course, and I can open more doors for people.
So you put female rapper in quotation, air quotation, yeah, mark. Does that label annoy you?
it annoys me very much, because I feel like regardless of what I want to do or what I want to achieve in life, mm-hmm. I feel like that's always going to be like just hanging over my head, regardless of the fact that somewhere in life I want to be an entrepreneur, a humanitarian, I want to be very involved in helping the world, I'm just going to be a female rapper.
Right.
And it's like, I'm trying to break that mold for myself or for the next, you know, generation to want to do what I'm doing or more. And I feel like it's bigger than me.
Well, so what were you doing after high school? Is that when you got into rap?
Not immediately. You know what I'm saying? I was just trying to figure stuff out. And, you know, trying to figure stuff out. And then I decided to rap after.
So when was that moment where you're like, okay, I'm going to look into, I'm going to do this?
I was like 19.
Mm-hmm.
And I ain't really have much else to do. So I was like, you know, I'll just do it, see what happens. But if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it, and I did it. You know what I'm saying? So
Right. That's
really what, like, where, like, it started from.
Yeah. I read in your interview with Lauren for Complex that your manager was just like, oh, you know, he's here and there, and he needs to be a little bit, like, serious about this because you got talent. Were you serious about it at first, or were you just like, I'm good at this, I'm going to try this out?
Like, I wasn't serious, like, for a while. Because it was just, I don't know, it was just something to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was like a time thing. It was just something to do. It kind of helped me stay out of trouble. And then I guess, as you know, as you keep doing more and you start to see the reaction when you put out songs, or you're actually good at it and you're better than everybody else, you know what I'm saying? Then you start to realize, oh, maybe I can have a future in this. And then you can start seeing, like, you know, I started seeing opportunities for myself that was kind of past rap.
Mm-hmm.
And I can just use, not even rap, but music, you know what I'm saying, to reach other endeavors. So that's when I started taking it, like, more seriously.
What are those opportunities that you...
Literally anything I want to do. Like, no matter what. I mean, because, like, you know, music is, I don't know, to me it's, I think artists are, you know, iconic now. Like, mm-hmm. We're like superheroes. So, especially when you reach a certain level, like, you can do anything you want to do. And I want to do a lot. So, I was like, maybe I should take this really seriously and be as great as I possibly can in this so I can be great in other things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you mentioned that you're one of the best.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, it's a weird thing to see people kind of take a negative note on.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter if it's negative or not. It's cool if it's negative to me. I think it's great.
What do you feel like?
Because it's like, you know, it's like, for example, it's like, if they take it in a negative thing, that means it hit them in a wrong way.
Oh, okay.
Great. You know what I'm saying? You're saving a positive way. I don't really see if it, I don't like saying it as a positive thing, to be honest,
because
it doesn't really bother anybody.
So you want it to get under someone's skin.
Absolutely.
So then it could get. But is so it because it gets someone's attention?
Yeah, and it pisses you off.
So it makes them. That's only going to make them react and be better.
Provoking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Makes you pay attention.
Sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What were you going to say, Sam?
I was just going to say, I feel like that term's often misconstrued, and people all of a sudden kind of, how can I put it? They... I'm trying to find the words. It's like, when for me to say I'm the best, automatically it becomes like a competition thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I'm not competing with you. This is generally how I feel. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm the best at what I do in my craft. So I feel that's the, yeah.
And right. I don't see it as competition.
Yeah.
I don't see it as a competition. I just think it's negative. If it's a competition for somebody else, good for them. But not for me, I don't really care.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing's really a competition to me. You know,
yeah.
I think if you're great at something, you're just great. And that's obvious. People will tell you,
mm-hmm.
you know. But regardless, when I say I'm the best at something, I don't really care how you feel about it, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
You know.
Going off that, is it hard to have tunnel vision with with so much music out and so many artists out?
No.
How do you stay kind of having your tunnel vision and creating your own music?
And you take everything with a grain of salt. You hear it, and you're like, cool. You're like, cool, that's nice. Congratulations, cool.
Yeah.
But you see your end goal and you keep going for that until that happens. Nothing else really matters. That's not going to, like, well, personally, it doesn't stir me from what I see. You know, so not at all.
What about you, Sims?
Everything he said. For sure, definitely. I think it's just to have a level head is, I think, the most important thing. I feel like, especially where I am and where I'm sure you are in your career, people expect you when they meet you to be a certain way or you know, say a particular thing to them, and they forget you're human. Like, now when I used to watch interviews and celebrities used to talk about this stuff, not that I'm celebrity, but I'm saying I feel like my career is heading in that direction. And now you kind of get a understanding of how they feel. And I think it's a shame that it's not people that understand it. But I feel like that's the way the game goes.
What do you mean as far as people? As far as...
Like the audiences and people outside of the industry.
Yeah.
Just especially old friends. I've come to notice that.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
That they really don't get it.
No.
No.
You feel like they say the worst things out of others? That's weird that, like, you're old.
I don't know. For me, like you said, everything's taken as a pinch of salt. You hear it and it's like, cool, if that's how you feel, that's how you feel. I'm not trying to explain myself to you or, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I feel like the people that know me, and that's what's really important, I suppose.
Yeah. Were you going to say something about the old friends thing?
I mean, just the old friend thing is just like, you know, I think a misconception, like the same, pretty much everything she said, but I think a big misconception from old friends are they swear up and down that you changed when actually their perception of you actually changed. So the thing about it is kind of the way that they approach you isn't like, oh, what's up, D?
Yeah, it's more,
yo, I seen you on Double XL. Whoa, bro, I seen you in, oh, Andre 3000 came to your show. Oh, man, how was that? And then, you know, and if you don't want to talk about it, you kind of look like a dick, you know, like certain things like that. It's like their whole perception of you changes. And then if you don't do what they tell you to do, then you're an asshole. Like certain things like that, literally, like it's the perception of that. And then that kind of reflects back on, man, he changed, man. You think he's so Hollywood.
Yeah.
And then it starts just getting awkward with those people. Mm-hmm. It's just better to not even talk to them.
So talk anymore.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They kind of like push themselves out of your life.
So what were some of the things that you guys grew up kind of listening to while you were, not even, like, even before you were recording music, like, things that you grew up on?
For me, definitely a lot of, like, Missy and Busta. I was very into, because I used to dance, and I just remember Missy always having, like, kid dances and me just wanting to be in her videos and that. I was heavily inspired by not just the music, but a lot of the visuals. When you look at a Missy and Busta visual, it's so, like, almost electrifying. Like, it just brings you into another world, and you almost don't want to listen to the song without watching the video, you know? And
oh, that's, my God, Missy's videos?
Yeah. So that's kind of what I was very into, and as I got older, I started listening to more Lauryn Hill and a lot of neo-soul, Angie Stone, India Irie. And just started getting a more better understanding of music, and especially my culture, I feel like.
Yeah.
Reggae, Afrobeats, for sure.
Yeah. What about you?
Oh, man, I listened to everything I possibly can.
Yeah.
You know, growing up, while I was growing up, go-go music was big. So I listened to go-go music my whole life. Every cookout, every street event, football games, whatever. So go-go was big. And then... it was an era when DC went through, like, listening to Lil Wayne every day. So I went through that. But then after that, I guess as I grew older, I started expanding. And then I went to private school for a little bit when I was in middle school. And then I started going to school with, like, white kids. And, like, this is the first time I did every, you know, like, been to school with kids who didn't look like you. And then I listened to everything that they listened to. And then that kind of opened me up. And then as I got older, I started listening to more music that appealed to whatever I was going through in that, like, you know, in life, like falling in love or heartbreaks, you know. So that went from legit, like, you know, Cameron to Kelly Clarkson. Like, I don't know.
I listened to the white kids were listening to Kelly Clarkson.
Kelly Clarkson was hot. I listened to her. she was tight.
Yeah, no, I think that I like when artists that are in that genre of, like, rap listen to non-rap music. Like, I feel like sometimes you can't. I couldn't imagine just listening to straight rap when you are rapping yourself.
I don't listen to rap no more. It's too much rap.
It's too much rap.
It almost stunts your growth.
It does.
Does it really?
Yeah, for sure.
How does it stunt, like, your growth?
I mean, it's... I feel like it well, for me anyway, it doesn't... I'm not really inspired by rap music anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I used to be. But now, growing up, it's other things, because I just feel like everyone's just chatting shit now. Like, every... And, like, it's just... It just doesn't mean anything anymore.
Right.
And I just... That's not... that doesn't appeal to me. I mean, it, I guess it for maybe that's because we're musicians and the way we listen to music are different. But for your average listener, it's just something that's easy on the ears. You can hear it in the clubs. It's cool to vibes to. But for me personally, it's like music is a universal language, you know, and it's about feeling. And that's what I don't really get.
Yeah.
From rap music. I mean, it's cool to turn up to if you're like drinking or whatever, but yeah, to zone out to, nah, not for me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What were you going to say about that?
I just totally agree with her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you think it's also like oversaturation though? There's just so much.
Everyone's a rapper. Even the singers are rappers now. It's like,
too. Yes.
Chris Brown rap.
Yes. Are you guys going to start singing now?
I'm going to start singing folk music.
Some Kelly Clarkson and some Mudford and Sons and
some Fleet Foxes and stuff.
But yeah, I feel that is very much a trend, like the rapper singing and the singer is rapping.
I mean, if you're good at it, cool, but yeah, for sure. But it's like if you're just doing it because it's a trend and it's like everyone's doing it now, it's just like just leave it alone kind of thing. Sure.
How do you guys feel about like putting so much music out? Like, do you guys take that into consideration when you're releasing music? Do you like to put a lot out? Because I know you guys, especially you have a lot of projects that you've been working on and that you have out. So kind of what's your, like, are you moderate with that or how do you take that on?
I just feel like if it's good, it's going to get out anyway.
Yeah.
That's just genuinely how I feel. And if I feel like, I mean, I'm unsigned, so I kind of had the freedom to do whatever I want, to put music out how I want, where I want.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a blessing for me, you know, to always be able to give people what they want when they want it. And so I've put out like 3 projects this year.
This year? Yeah, I was going to be like, you put out more than 3 projects in total because, okay.
And that's because I wanted to. Not, there's no pressure of, oh, you got to follow up with this or, you know, it's just literally because I want to do it.
Yeah.
For sure.
You don't have so much out there.
No.
But that's also because of your take as far as much out there.
I think it's the oversaturation thing. Yeah. Personally, I don't like oversaturation and shit. You know, it's more like I like I think it's beauty behind rarity. I think it's people value you more, you know, if you kinda space things out. I dropped like 1 project, 26 minutes. And then before that, I dropped 6 songs. That was it. So probably what, maximum, I can't count, 13 songs. I don't know what.
14, but you're good.
But that shit, you know.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
And that much came out in a span of a year and a half.
Right.
And everything, like, and the thing is, I do that because I want to drop, like, I'll drop a song once this month, won't drop one for another 2 months. And so people can actually live with it. And then I try to make sure that song or whatever, that project, whatever it is, grows as far as it can. So stretch that out as far as it can. And as soon as people get done with it, you drop something new.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of like stretching things out for relevancy purposes. Yeah. I think if you drop quality over quantity, then you'll be okay.
Do you guys take that into consideration when you're thinking of like label signings? Because I'm assuming you guys already had like talks or all that with labels. And I think that some artists get a little nervous when signing with labels because you have some sort of, now you got to put this out at a certain time. But I guess it depends on the label also. Mm-hmm. But what are your guys' thoughts on like going major and just, or staying independent?
You know, I think it's more of, I think you should build things as much as you can. Mm-hmm. Which everybody needs help at some point, right, depending on what you want out of a career. Right. So I don't think it's a bad thing. It just depends on what you want.
Yeah. What about you, Sims?
Absolutely. I agree. Yeah, you definitely have to know what you want. I've had talks with a lot of labels, and for me, I feel like my vision is my baby, you know? And mm-hmm. when people don't get it, it's almost offensive. Like, you don't get what I'm trying to do here. And it's yeah. just like, and so for me, I'm chilling. I'm not in no particular rush to sign. I feel like me and my manager, we're totally fine on our own right now. Mm-hmm. Again, if it feels right, and eventually maybe one day it will happen, but right now I'm chilling. And I've actually started my own label called Age 101. So yeah, I'm just taking things
slow. So that goes with your series, right?
Yeah, the drops. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're dropping the third one this yeah. month?
No, probably not this
month. Next month? Oh, wait, yeah. It's almost then.
Yeah, for sure.
How did that concept come about? Like, you having your own label or your own collective?
Again, because I wanted my own label.
You wanted to make the decisions and all that.
Sure. Like, I know every artist secretly dreams of having that, you know, owning something like a label one day, mm-hmm. whether it's now or in the future. I felt like I wanted it now, and so I went for it. Mm-hmm. And it's actually opened a lot of doors for me.
So what is that vision? Like, what is your guys' vision that you kind of want to achieve?
It's bigger than me. That's yeah. what I keep trying to reinforce when I go into label meetings. Like, it's really not about me. I'm just trying to be a part of something that can seriously change lives. And it's not... people say it all the time, it's not for money, it's not for this, it's not for that, and it's not about that for me. It's just everything I do is for my family, is for people in the world that need inspiration, that need hope, that need something to look forward to. And all the labels that I've been in anyway haven't seemed to get that, and especially because, again, I'm a female rapper, and that hasn't been done before. So it's like, what makes you think? First of all, just to be blunt, I'm black, I'm British, and I rap. That just puts me in a box automatically. Mm-hmm. What makes you think that you have the power to do that? Like, chill is mm-hmm. the kind of reaction I've been getting. And that's like, it's hurtful and it's offensive for real. Mm-hmm. Like, if someone's trying to tell you you can't do what you want to do, and it's like, with that mentality for me, it's just like, cool,
I don't understand how you tell someone that you can't do that. Like, I can't imagine telling someone, like, no, you're not.
It's not as blunt as that, but they kind of tell me without telling me. It's like, yeah. It's not like, you can't
right.
do that. It's like, out of the question.
They probably suggest something else.
Yeah, exactly. When I've made it very clear what I'm trying to do, and it's like, no, maybe you should, I don't know, stop wearing hats. It's a bit tomboyish, and, you know, maybe don't wear so much layers and shit. It's like,
that makes me mad.
I get what you're trying to do. You're here. I get what you're trying to do here. Aaron, and that note, peace.
Yeah. Yeah. What's your vision? Like, what do you see or what do you want?
I want
everything.
Nah, more so I want, you know, I want a Porsche. I want a boat.
Is that gonna be on your list when you go in and walk in?
Yeah, for sure. Not playing. Porsche and a boat. You know, I want a gold toilet, and also I want to be able to be a black nigga doing cool shit in white people world. That's it. That's all I rap for.
I feel like that last part is already happening. No,
exactly. So yeah. I'm already taking over the white man world right now. So I'm gonna just keep on doing cool shit for, you know, in white people world. I'm trying to, you know.
What were you mentioned? Kind of also being a part of something bigger and inspiring others. What people or certain situations kind of made you feel that way? Was that just how you were raised?
Yeah. I feel like I'm a deep thinker. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, especially because my mum's a foster carer, mm-hmm. and I meet so many kids have came in and out of my house, and they come, they understand not one word of English. mm-hmm. 6 months later, they're fluent. Like, I get to see kids... that are not from where I'm from grow and how they treat people and how they live and what they've been through, and that in itself is so much inspiration for me. Like, ask my manager, he'll tell me things that you should be excited about. This person called, this person wants to have a meeting, and I'm like, cool, sounds great. And then the one time a kid will come into my house and share their story, I'm on the phone to him like, yo, I'm super excited, like, you know. It's just, I don't know, man. I think especially, yeah, my mum being a foster carer has opened my eyes to so much. Seriously.
You guys haven't worked with big artists. Is it because you kind of want to keep the projects that you're putting out introductory? Like, you don't really, you haven't worked with big artists.
Yeah.
You also work with, like, the same producers also.
Right, right.
Why is that?
I mean, because it's almost something, I think it's keeping the sound.
Right.
You know, it's just a sound, a certain thing that they have. You know, a certain sound that they have that we're building. Mm-hmm. That's only just going to get more fine-tuned. And then it's our own sound. So it's almost like, just stick to the script. Nothing, this machine ain't broke, don't fix it. Just keep, you know, rolling with it and just make it stronger.
Do you want to explore other sounds, though?
I am.
Okay.
A lot more sounds. But I think that the ones that I'm working with can do it. Of course, I'm open to work with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody, you know, just people's just minds just think different. If you put everybody's mind into one thing, it can make some big, wild shit. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I always keep open. But, you know, I'm loyal. I like sticking to the thing, whatever that is.
What about you, Sims?
Yeah, same. It's important. I feel like, you know, you start something with a group of people, you complete it with them. Mm-hmm. Of course, we're both solo artists, we're open to do our thing and work with whomever we want to work with. But I feel like, especially when it's more about making bodies of work that sound cohesive and, like, you kind of need to do it with the people that you started
like
it with.
Like a core group.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Y'all know you could ask each other questions if you want, right?
Oh.
Turn up.
I mean, you can if you want to.
Why Gold Link?
Because it was the most pimped out name I could think of of all time.
Okay.
And, you know, if I was a pimp and I was born in the 60s, what would I be doing? Three things I'd be doing. I'd be pimping, doing cocaine, and being fly. And that fits. And when you think of Gold Link, that's the three things you think about. A cocaine, fly ass pimp. So that's where the name came from.
In your afterlife, that's exactly what you...
I think that was my past life.
Yeah.
I think when I was born in the 60s, I got killed in like a shootout. I was like born into a rapper.
You want to just keep that going?
Yeah. So.
Cool.
Do you have anything for Sims?
Bad at questions. Do you like the United States more than UK, or do you like?
You can't ask me that.
Yeah. Okay.
I love the UK, and I like the States.
Okay.
That's a very good answer.
It's a great answer.
I mean, it's her home, right?
Like, yeah, sure. Yeah, it makes sense.
That'd be crazy if she's just like, fuck the UK. Like, I really like the States.
No, I'm getting so much shit when I get home. Like,
right.
She sold out. See, I told you, she's fucking with Gold Link. Uh-huh. And then all of a sudden.
Have you guys worked together before?
No.
But
he brought me out in his show in London.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was wild, yeah.
That was great.
That was sick.
That was tight.
Yeah. Definitely. How is the UK crowd for you?
It was amazing.
Like, how is it different than the crowds here?
They're more open, you know, they're faithful, and they study.
You have a lot more fans in London than you know.
I've heard.
Just like, so you know.
Every time I talk to somebody overseas, they're like, yo,
so
you the only
stage.
Thing.
Just go over there.
You know.
Well, how are your crowds? I mean, clearly your UK crowds are greater because you're from there. Yeah. What kind of, how are they a little bit different?
What, in the UK to over here?
Mm-hmm.
In the UK, I feel like the shows I've done more recently, people are more familiar with who I am, so they kind of know what to expect, if you know what I mean. When I come over to the States, again, I'm just in that box, new talent from London.
When does the new talent label go away? When does the new rapper, the new artist, the rising artist?
Personally, I think it's when you solidify yourself in the game. Mm-hmm. So it's like when they know that you ain't going nowhere, all that new talent shit is out the window. That's just me. You know what I'm saying? So it's like for example, you got like I do it now. You got one hit, I'm like, oh. You got two, I'm like, cool. Three, like, oh. Then if you hear man's project and or anybody's project, then you'll be like, okay. I'm still not convinced. You know what I'm saying? It's more of like it has to be consistent. You show you ain't going nowhere. Like Drake was consistent off gate, just kept going. And now look where he is. Kendrick is the same way. Yay. Well, you know, I think to me, I judge it off of bodies of work. But I think it's more when you solidify yourself.
So you guys are very good with keeping your core group around you. But what about like other artists? Like, is there artists that you actually do go crazy for? Bigger artists? No. You did not get excited for a big artist?
No.
If I saw Jimi Hendrix live...
Live, show.
What do you mean excited? Like, get
like people to like work with, or like people that you look to and you're like, God, they're like, that's one hell of an artist. Like, that.
I mean, like, give nigga props. I give nigga props all day, but like excited, like, oh shit, nah, never over any human being. But I mean, there's people that are tight. Yeah. Like, Ye is tight. Right. Why Ye is tight? The only reason I think Ye is tight is because Ye got in a car accident and almost died. His jaw was wired shut.
Absolutely, yes.
To now having, like, one of the most important babies on the planet above the prince is crazy to me. That's why he's so tight. You know what I'm saying? That's the only reason I'm like, damn, this nigga did it. A black man premiered Bound 2 on the Ellen DeGeneres show is tight. That's the only reason I think he's tight. It's not like, and pass out and shit. Like, I never.
That also be a little weird if anybody was like that. What about you? Is there any artist that you kind of look at that way?
Jimmy.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I'm a huge Jimi Hendrix fan. Just because as a musician, like, he's too much. No, I can't even do it.
What do you do besides music? Like, what else do you like to do?
Like, hobbies?
Like, yeah.
Hobbies. What do I do? What do I do? I don't have a life. Substances. And in the summer, I actually like to roller skate.
Okay.
Roller skate?
Yeah. It's pretty fun. And I cycle, actually. Yeah.
Okay.
What about you?
Hobbies.
What
like,
are your hobbies?
Man. Yo, my nigga, what? I'm a fucking. Yeah, I play FIFA. I play a lot of Xbox. I play a lot of games. I'm a weirdo. And then I like shopping.
Wait, have you played The Last of Us?
No.
Oh, okay.
I only play like sports game and Pokemon. Like, nothing else. Like, it's just too. Like, I'm weird. And then I like to shop. Like, I like females. Because they like to shop. So I love to shop. Like, I love shopping and reading about technology. That's my hobbies and shit. I want to go on boats and then, like, do ATVs and, like, get in trouble, too. Other than that, that's about it.
Usually we talk about, like, things that are going on now and music that's going on now. But what are you guys listening to right now? Like, whether it be new or not new?
Look at my phone.
Yeah.
I'm into a lot. Like, I'm just into a lot now. Like, I'm honestly starting to listen to folk music. I got introduced to country music.
How's that?
It's nice. It's really nice. You know, good vibes.
Yeah.
I'm trying to dip into classical music. And African music. And dance hall and reggae. So, like, I'm trying to expand. Like, I'm listening to things I would never listen to before, which is kind of helping me expand my mind more.
Yeah.
You know, that's really what I'm into now.
What kind of folk and country acts are you listening to?
Yo, I literally just started, like, I found, like, a legit 20 new people 2 days ago. I can't even tell you their names. But, you know. It started with Fleet Foxes, I'll say.
Okay.
And you know, washed out. It's not really folk,
mm-hmm.
you know, but, you know, certain things of that nature.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Sims?
A lot of electronic. I've had, like, Jamie Moon's album on repeat for, like, mm-hmm. the longest time, and James Blake's album as well. Subtract. I'm starting to do my research more and more about the rap scene in, like, the South. So, like, I'm doing mm-hmm. my research on 3-6, David Banner.
So is that stuff that you really didn't listen to when you were growing up?
Not really. I wasn't really introduced to it. I mean, I heard songs, like, on the telly and stuff, but mm-hmm. I didn't, like, go and do my research and listen to that type of music. But I don't know. At the time, I wasn't really into it, I suppose. But as you grow older, you...
Yeah.
Kind of catch up on what you've missed.
What made you kind of start looking into that?
Because I wasn't fucking with the rap that was current now.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to listen to stuff when it was like, feel real, I guess.
Yeah. So 3-6.
Yeah, it's just like that. I just think vibe, and just, especially now that this whole trap wave has come, mm-hmm. it's like, everything has to have been originated from somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So you always go and trace back and you just connect the dots, really. And it's like, oh, okay.
I appreciate you guys coming through.
For sure.
No worries.